That was after 20 years of marriage. In that time, we went down to the end of that, and we looked at, they had favorites, and we talked about how it's never good to have favorites, especially when it comes to your children. Of course, there's favoritism in talents, and he used that accordingly, but it can cause problems. We knew that Rebecca loved Jacob, and he seemed to be a mama's boy, and Isaac loved Esau because he was a man's man. And that also shows part of their character. We're not sure about Rebecca because she knew who was going to be the chosen out of the two twins. God specifically told her when she was having difficulties in her pregnancy, and she went to inquire of the Lord, and he told her that. So that could have been a reason why she chose him. We looked at the word when he was a gentleman, but it actually meant complete. Isaac was complete. He was different than Esau was, even in their temperaments and personalities. And God knows us, and he chose him before they were born. So in the end, Esau sells his birthright for food. And doing that, he despised or lowly esteemed his position in that time as the firstborn. But it still brings the question, God knew who he wanted, and it was the secondborn. Again, his name was heel catcher or supplanter. So it's hard to say if Jacob was supposed to come out first and God knew there was going to be issues inside of them. And he said the younger will serve the older. But realistically, it should have been him. Hard to know. They had some problems or trials in there. And you see after verse 26, they're going to get into it a little bit more. So we're picking it up in verse 26 after the genealogies of the two sons. Chapter 26, verse 1. Now it starts off, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Now this is a second one, and the days of Abraham was around 100 years ago. So there was another famine. Oops. Let me show where that is. All right. So here is where, I don't know if you can see it too much, but there's Gerar, and of course, that's in the Mediterranean Sea in what is now Israel. Just a reminder on where that is. I'm going to leave this up here, and there's Gerar where he's going in Israel. It's a little closer, you could see. So he's going in that land. Remember that it was owned or occupied by the Philistines at that time, before the Israelites pushed them out when they took over the land promised to them later on in the Bible. But I'm going to leave this up for now because it applies to this chapter. So when you look at Abimelech, it is not possible it's the same one that his father knew, because again, the word means my father is king or father is king. So it was an ancestor of the last king or the kings that Abraham knew, not the same one, because that was around 100 years ago when Abraham was there, and this famine was around 100 years. So when you think about it, why would he leave? Well, he has a lot of livestock, and the livestock needs pasture. So if you're looking at where he's going, it's closer towards the sea. There is actually a little stream or a river running through there that you really can't see, but there is more fertile grounds for his pasture, so it makes sense that he would go there. And he does have livestock. There's another question, and I talked about how sometimes when you're looking at the Genesis, it's not in chronological order. And you have to keep that in mind, because as we read chapter 26, the question is, where are the boys? Where are their boys? Well, remember, 20 years of marriage before they had their children. So this more than likely, and when you look at people, what they say, this more than likely is before the children were born. And it makes the most sense, because when you're looking at the layout of this portions of Genesis, it is not chronological, it's more topically arranged. And that's why you see genealogy giving a little bit about the two sons, because it applies later on. Now they're going back and telling you a little bit more about Isaac, his wife, and what happened to him that was similar to his father. So you can see that as you're going through this. And he is closer. He moved a little bit closer to the Mediterranean Sea for the sake of his pastor, pasturing for the livestock. Verse 2. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you." Now here's something interesting again. Isaac is in Gerar, and he wants to leave in verse 2 as we read, and God says, "Don't leave." Well, why did he want to leave the town that he was in? And we're going to see a little bit more understanding, or it's going to tell us in verse 7. But for now, he wants to leave. The question is also for us, did you ever want to leave a town, a church, a job, a spouse, or a family? Now, some of that stuff you say is okay. And when you're thinking about this, he did leave. He left from where he was and he went to this king where his father stood for a while. Now, the first move was okay. God didn't say, don't go anywhere. Isaac went to Abimelech. Now, it doesn't mean that the second moves that we do in life is okay. You could leave a town. You could leave a church. You could leave a job. But rarely would God tell you to leave a spouse or family. There are certain circumstances in the Bible that you can. We know adultery is a big one. We know, obviously, if there's abuse in that, they've broke the covenant. Because a covenant is marriage, just like God made the covenant. Two people are coming together and saying, I will do, I will do. Well, in abuse in a marriage, you're breaking your covenant vow. You're no longer required to be a part of that because it is abuse. Family members, of course, that's also different. When you come to know Christ, Jesus himself said, who is my family? The family you thought you knew, sometimes you have to separate from them. But there's reasons we can move or leave. He left because of a famine and it made sense. But he wanted to go to Egypt. And God said, don't go there. I know someone, and I got to take this slowly so I don't just slip and say the names, had a decision to leave. It was a green light. After that, now where do I go? And there was two choices that this person had. Should I go to this part or this state? Should I go to this other state? And this person brought it before the Lord, looked at the scriptures, and God spoke to this person. This person made the right decision. This person kept the faith, listened to God. Because there's two ways it could have went. There's our decisions, like Isaac is doing, and there's God's decision. And us being his children, when we make decisions and we move out, he can stop us or he will stop us, just like he did to Isaac. But then the question remains, well, I already put this decision to move. Which one will we take? There's the dilemma right there of keeping the faith. And for a person like me, man, I always just want to go here and there. What am I? I'm a gypsy, that's right. Literally, not figuratively. I am Roma. I'm just telling you that because, you know, it's your first time on Wednesdays. But yes, this person listened. And they kept the faith in God. And when you're looking at Isaac, possibly he's tested. Possibly he was remembering his father. Maybe I should go back to this king. And he knew all the promises. He was part of it. But our faith at times can go up and down. And we can have plans and thank the Lord that he stops us and he knows. And there's been times in my life, and I'm sure you could, and it's not always God comes down and say, hey, don't do that. It could just be something getting in the way. It could be something stopping you. It could be someone telling you. It could be a word in the scriptures that just pours out and it hits you. And you're like, there's no denying it. You could turn on the radio. But then the question is, are you going to listen? That's where we generally get in trouble, when we don't listen. Verse 3, and God continued to say, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. Bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. So God encourages and reminds Isaac of the promises. And that tells you something. It tells you that he needs it, just like sometimes we need to be reminded of the promises of God. Sometimes we can go through things or we have decisions or we're unsure. And God can come to us, or we have his word. If we forget and our brains are messed up, we get some scriptures, and sometimes we have life scriptures, I guess, some that we keep close to us when we get through certain times of our lives, or we feel down, whatever it is. Some of us, or I don't know what your scriptures are, but we have scriptures to lean on just in case our logic goes out the door and emotions take over. And we need that. And God could remind us, and we need encouragement from the Lord constantly, from each other. That's the whole purpose of continuing to read the Bible. You go out in the world, it's going to attack you all the time. It doesn't stop. It's so easy. And we need that scriptures that we take to us. And God reminding us, don't. Hey, I got you. I'm going to bless you. Don't worry about it. But it's easy to forget that because we're in the flesh. We're in the world. And sometimes we don't see clearly. And it's easy, too easy. When I look at the Bible and you read, and sometimes I'm going through this and I'm like, why does it seem like I'm saying the same thing again? Is it? Is it not? Why do we keep needing, again, reminding? And I think any church you go through that goes through the Bible and says it, and you know the Spirit is there, it's going to tell you because we're sheep. That's something to understand. Because sheep can easily forget, go off. And you know, I think I showed a video a while back where this man was calling a sheep. And they came. But they can easily get left behind. We have that mentality because we forget easily. Because we are led a lot by this and the emotions that deceive. And we forget. So we need scriptures in our minds, or some that we can remember for ourselves when something comes up, that we have a frame of reference. Because it's so easy to do. All right. I was in three. All right, so he encourages him and reminds him of his promises. And he says, the blessing is where, or I put this down as my note, the blessing is where God wants you to be, not where you want to go. And that's a thing that we have to remember. If we can have desires to go places, I have desires to go places, but yet we have to take them before the Lord when we go, I'd like to go there or live there or move. But if God says the blessing is here, just because we're uncomfortable, just because we may not like it, just because it's not what we thought it was or should be, if we choose to do our own, what's going to happen? If God says, I will bless you here, well, clearly, logically, he's not going to bless us somewhere else. And we're out of what he wants for us. So that's a thing to remember. The blessing is where God wants us to be, not where we want to go. Story, I used to live here back in 1990. So we moved here from Philadelphia. It's Philadelphia. We came here, Philadelphia. Whole family came here. And we started to grow in Christ again. Because, again, it was up and down for us, up and down. And we left Philadelphia, came here. Wait a second. That's not true. We left California. We came here. And as we were here, we went through some ups and downs. Then it started getting better. We started growing in the Lord, even though at that time we didn't go to a specific church, but God started speaking to us. And I got a job. My brother had a job. And understanding gypsies, jobs, no. You don't do that stuff. Things were going up. But then our family, some family members were living with us, and then they left and went to New York. So we were like, you know what? Family's not here. I think we want to go to New York too. We didn't really pray about it too much. We didn't feel we should go. We felt like we should go to be with the family. But as we would pray, we were like, I don't know. Things wasn't easy to move, but we forced it. You know, trying to sell the stuff, buy a car, buy a truck. I wind up buying a van, a large van that was leaking oil. But in that time, we decided to move for the sake of family, thinking it's better to go there. Family's there. No one was here at the time in 1990. We were only here. What do you think happened when we moved to New York? It was all downhill from there. Went back to fortune telling. We couldn't get jobs. We were living day to day. It was a curse upon us. Why? Because God's blessing wasn't there. We didn't keep the faith like Abraham did, or what God told us to do. And it's so easy to do that. And God will let you go to learn. But we stood there. We were there for maybe half a year. And so many things went wrong in that place. So many things. And my brother almost divorced his wife. My sister ran away with some guy. It all hell broke loose because we were out of the will of God. And the enemy was there because he was okay to. Went back into witchcraft, of course, and that's what it was. So we're all doing crazy things, and we all fell in one way or another. Then after that, we moved to Philadelphia, and that was one of the worst times of my life. One of the times, I need your water. I forgot to bring one up here. That was a time in my life where I wanted to kill myself because of things I was doing. Say hi to everyone. Hey, look, first time anyone sees you online. It's my wife. Thanks. And because it's a chain of causality, you walk away, you're going to continue to do that. We didn't think of going back to God. We decided to just move to Philadelphia, and it just grew, and it was bad. And we met God again, sort of, but then again, fell away, excommunicated, did stuff where that's where I was like, you know, I'm just going to die. The Lord's like, watch yourself. And I was like, whoa. But because of not being where God wanted us to be, it took years to get back where he wanted us to be. Where am I for 25 years? Vegas. And even when I came back here, it was ups and downs. But in the end, this is where my blessing is. Wherever God wants you to be. If you leave, you can trust that he'll bring you back because he's a good God. And he will accomplish his will in your life. Now, I didn't know I'd be up here. I've said that before. There's no way of knowing these things, but if God says he's going to bless you, he will. That's when the Lord would tell me at times, nothing in this world will ever give you as much joy as if you follow me. Now, I didn't understand that, but in hindsight, if I followed him in the beginning, I wouldn't have all those problems. And each one of us can probably tell a story like that in our Christian walk. I mean, it doesn't really apply when you're not, unless you heard the call like Abraham did and you didn't listen. We just suffer more. And that's all it is. But I'm thankful after so much of these, I finally say, hold on, Dave. Not my will, your will done. I put no confidence in this flesh at all, where I don't want to make a move because I've done it too many times where it just destroyed me. I know what it is to be out of the will of the Lord and him saying, sure, go ahead. I'll be here waiting when you come back bruised and crying to me. But don't worry, I'm going to love you and dust you off. But there's consequences. You're going to have to go through these things, and you don't want that. Those consequences are really bad. But we didn't, but praise God, I am where he wants me to be. And you know my story being here. I'm not doing anything, Lord, until you tell me this is where you want me, sort of like this, because I ain't moving anymore. I don't want to cause harm to anyone or to myself anymore. And that's what you do when you're out of the will of God, especially as a Christian, because the enemy will take the opportunity to mess up your life and anyone else who comes in contact with you so it can make Christianity and Christ look bad. And that's the bottom line of what he wants to do, destroy people. So again, being careful and listening. But there's always restoration. Verse 4. I'm doing this on purpose for the awkward silence. It's time for one of these lozenges. Who did I tell I shouldn't have ate a cake out there? I knew it was going to get me. I told you, Phil. Verse 4. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and commandments, my statutes and my laws. So the Lord continues to tell Isaac that he will. In verse 3, he encouraged him and he reminded him of the promises. Now in verse 4, he says, I will. Why? Because of Abraham, and he obeyed me. So he's confirming it to him now what he's going to do, because he says, I will make, I will give. And then it's like, well, why are you going to do this? Well, you remember your father? He listened to me. He obeyed. And it's interesting because you hear he obeyed his voice. He kept his charge, his commandments, and his statutes. And as we read through Abraham's life, he did what God told him to do. And he must have passed it on to his children. He said no, yes, no. He made some mistakes, but he listened to the commandments of God. And it's interesting, when you look at 1 Corinthians 7, you don't have to go there, but in the title it says Principles of Marriage. And you see the same thing happening here when it comes to marriage, because they're both covenants, is what's being talked about. And it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are clean. Now, if you're looking at what Paul says about marriage, and you're looking at verse 5, when he says, because of Abraham and the covenant they had, that's what marriage is. And Paul uses two words in 2 Corinthians. He says, sanctified and holy. In other words, if you were to put it in layman's terms, it's set apart to be cleansed. So when you're looking at what God is saying to Isaac, listen, don't worry. Because of Abraham, you're set apart and you're going to be cleansed just like your father was. I know maybe your faith is here or there, but I'm working on you too. Don't worry about it. Just like Paul tells us, our children are being set apart because of the believing spouse, whether it's the husband or wife. God honors that covenant decision we made with Christ. And he remembers, I'll take care of your children. They follow me. You continue to do and follow me and teach them my ways. So he says, because of his father, he doesn't have to worry. I'm going to help you out as well. And that's the thing about God. He keeps his promises all the time. Even in the midst of decisions that we may make. Think about our world right now. We don't know what's going to happen. There's chaos. How's it going to be for us? Should we leave? Should we not? Anyone ever think about leaving America? I can ask this question. You guys can raise your hand if you want. I did too. I do. I want to leave America. Because it's frustrating when truth is revealed to you. And when you're a Christian, expect truth. And if you're not getting truth, then you got to ask yourself what's happening that you're not seeing truth. Because the Holy Spirit leads us to all the truth. But when you see it, it frustrates you at times because you feel like nothing is changing. You can't do anything. People aren't changing. And as I said before, Christians irritate me, not non-Christians, because they're the ones who are causing issues, right? They're not doing what they're supposed to do, the commandments that God gave us. American Christians are too comfortable. We have a set way of doing things. We have our favorite seats, don't we? I have my favorite seat back there. And we get comfortable. Now, think about this if you remember. Next week, when you come here, don't sit in your same chair and see how you feel. That tells you how easy we can become comfortable and conform and do things our way. When God is continuing to say to us, move forward, grow, you have to. I want you to do this. I want you to be uncomfortable for your own sake. Go. But it's so difficult because we like our comforts. And it doesn't necessarily mean a big, beautiful house. Our comfort zone. Just stay. I could be locked up in a room for a week and just watch television. But what is God going to say? Weakness. Come on. No, Lord, I'm happy because then I got to deal with people. You know? I don't like people, Lord. No, you don't understand. Seriously. And I can say, I don't like people. But is that true? Why is my desire when I see people? She knows. The weight of the world, like I said, comes to me at night and I think of people on the streets and babies and all that. And I'm like, oh, Lord, people don't know you. But yet when I'm outside on the regular day, I'm like, oh, I just want to rain fire from heaven, as we were talking about, John. I want to be the third son of thunder. But why is that when we think about it? It's when you come to know Christ, you hate the things God hates. But you still have to learn how to give love in all of that. That's difficult for us to do. But even in those ups and downs, and if we waver on our faith and we think things are bad, that's why we need to remember God. And he's going to take care of everything. Even if things look bad, the Lord is with us. So we don't have to worry. But in me is Christ's love. That's what presses me forward. That's what makes me care for people. Because the other side of me that knows truth, these people they'll never learn, especially Christians, right? And I'm not talking about anyone here. Especially, you know, they're just not doing what God would want them to, not honoring him. But then, of course, I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit who reminds me always about the cross. Don't you remember you're like that? You were like that. You know that you're still under grace. Why are you so different? Are you any special? It's grace. And that's the thing to remember when we get through this world and we make decisions and we're confused and we want to leave. And maybe we can say, God, the grass is greener. The grass is green wherever God wants you in the midst of chaos. If that's where he wants you, that's the best place to be in that chaos. So, I forgot to tell you, I want you to open your Bibles to James 1. We're going to go a little off. And we're going to look at James 1 in a familiar scripture that applies to this situation. And we all know it. We all know the scripture. But here it also applies to Isaac in his decisions and what he may or may not trust in God as he's growing in that. And also for us. So James 1, chapter 1. There? All right. So it's very familiar to us. And what does it say? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Depending on the translation you have, when you find yourself into trials. What's going on? Now, Isaac found himself in a famine. That's a trial. What is he going to do? And it says, various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So here again, Isaac, how was his fate? He knew who he was. He remembers when he was on the rock and his father was going to kill him. He understands he was the promised child, but our faith can go up and down and it needs to be tested and grown. God wants to push us. God will orchestrate things for our own sake, even to the point where it's a famine and we don't know. So it says, for the testing of your faith produces what? The thing we all have? Patience, which we don't have. We know that. Okay, so produces patience, but you have to let patience have its perfect work. In other words, you got to be patient with patience, which is a double whammy. So you got to let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And we find we lack when we don't, where we are not where God wants us to be, or we don't trust him enough. And that's always the issue. Reading the Bible will always be about trust. Because we still struggle with that the most. Again, especially in times when we rise up and our flesh can say, this looks right, this looks great, it must be the Lord. But I want to go there. You must want me there. I can't take it here. I'm not happy. It just doesn't seem right, Lord. Hold on. Remember what I told you. Give it some time. But I'm tired, Lord. I want to move on. And I'll raise my hand every second of the day to that. My mind is always going. Lacking nothing, it says. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. I don't understand. I'm lacking insight. And it will be given to him. But let him ask with faith, with no doubting. In other words, will it happen? Will it won't? I don't know. This doesn't seem right. But is this how God works? I don't know. I'm so confused. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, driven and tossed by the wind. Now see what James is saying here. You're like a wave of sea, you're going back and forth, and something else is controlling you. The water is being moved by the wind. So if it wasn't for that voice in the head or even the enemy, it would be a little bit more clear. That is, again, why we need some scripture verses in our lives to refocus us, just in case our mind is all over the place. So the wind is tossing back and forth. And it goes on to say, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And think about that. You know what? I want to go here. I think I'm going to do that. Then you may hear God saying, no, you shouldn't do that. You feel it. But why? It seems good. It seems right. What's the big deal? I think it's right. I don't know. Why wouldn't you want me here? Lord, What is it that you want me to do? Why don't you want me there? Lord, are you going to listen? Are you going to shut up for a second and listen? Lord, but no, you don't understand. You know what? I can't get through you. You're too unstable. You're not going to get it because you really don't believe enough to be quiet and listen to what I'm telling you. You lack patience. Why don't you let patience have its perfect will in you? And see, that's one thing that we can struggle with throughout our lives, no matter how long we've been in Christ. And that's what you see James telling us here. You have to understand that you won't always know what God is doing, but you can ask him. And I think about my life. There's been too many times throughout my Christian walk that God has made himself real to me. Too many times. I mean, even as a child, I've seen demons, I've seen angels, I've seen Jesus. He showed me things about the world. I've seen principalities. He's told me no, he's told me yes. I had audible voices. He's used me in different ways of the gifts of the Spirit. And even in then, there's been times when something hit me and I questioned faith and God. The best example is the Israelites. They saw all the miracles of God. But yet, what was it? Moses was up for how many months? 3 months? Was it 3 months? 3 months? 2 months? 30 days? It was 30 days. 40 days. He was up for 40 days. Next thing you know, man, this guy, there must not be a God. Maybe we didn't know. Something's not right here. Hey, let's debaucherize ourselves. Bring the calf. Everyone run around naked. It tells you about how easily we can be like this. And part of that is a little bit of us being spoiled in our Christianity. Because you see that in the Israelites, and you can see that in our lives. Because we do this. We don't want to move forward. And we don't give patience its patience. We don't learn patience in that. And when we do go before God and ask, we drown them out by our own thoughts, other people's thoughts, and the enemy's thought. Even if the Bible says it, I need to feel it, Lord. Like you let me feel it last time. But it says right here in the Word, you don't need to feel anything. But no, Lord, you don't understand. So we even trick ourselves into doing stuff and find ourselves making a mistake. And that's why James says this. Don't listen to the other voices that are in the wind. You got to just take the time and be where God wants you to, of course, no matter what's coming up, no matter what come up to us in the future. If you have decisions, go here, don't go. Keep giving it to God and don't move or do anything until he tells you, whatever the situation may be. Back to my jobs. When I was in jobs as a Christian, I would want to just quit because before the Lord, I'll be like, you know what? You can take your job and I'm out of here. Like the song says, like that song just came to my head. I ain't working here no more. But after that, you have to honor God. So I wait and wait and wait. I'm like, yo, Lord, I think the worst job I had, I think I said, was a cab driver. I told you guys that, right? Cab driver was one of the worst jobs I ever had. When Isabella was just born and she was a colicky baby and I was working 14 hours days for a little bit of money and it was just horrendous. And I wanted to just quit, but I couldn't. But here's the thing. That's where God wanted me to be. I wanted to leave. God said, you're not going anywhere until we wrestle. And I wrestled in that cab when the sun came up and the sun came down, screaming, yelling, everything. Until God was like, you can leave now. And he said, all right, you can leave. You're fired. Get out of here. But I got unemployment. So I was okay for a while. The point was God wanted me there. I didn't want to be there. I'm like, I need to get another job. I need to see what's going on. It was during a famine. What was it? During the recession, was it? Yeah, during the recession. Just like Isaac. I would like to go somewhere else. But God did his work there. Just like he's doing it for Isaac, just like he can do it for us. Being uncomfortable is a good thing because it causes you to look around and say, what is going on here? You know what I mean? Being too comfortable, the only thing that does is make a hole in the chair and one day you can go through it and you don't realize and then you're stuck. You're asking for help and no one's around. But Isaac, going back to Isaac, the famine was in land. Abimelech, he would say the land is good, but they are perverted murderers, Lord, who will kill me for my wife. Egypt is better, isn't it? He didn't understand. But God said, be patient, trust me, and you will. He says that to Isaac, and he says that to us. Does he keep the faith? Let's go back to Genesis and find out if he does. Going back to Genesis 26, verse 6. And verse 6 says, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He did it. He kept the faith. He didn't do what I did. And maybe, I don't know if some of you did that or not, but he didn't take that wrong journey into Egypt. He stood there. Now, I don't know if I put my, I think I put that in the wrong place, but that's okay. Verse 7. And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say she is my wife, because he thought, and that's what you have to keep in mind, lest the men of this place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. So, in his mind, when he was there, something caused him to want to leave to Egypt. And he must have seen something there. And that's probably why he said, again, maybe they're murderous, maybe they're perverted. And if you look at verse 7, I asked a question earlier, why did he want to leave town? And it sort of explains it. He says, because he thought the men of this place will kill him for his wife because she is beautiful. So it asked the questions, what did he see? And he thought those things. Now, if God told him to stay there, there's the trusting in God fully. Yes, he didn't go, but his mind is, let me not say the truth because I don't know if these people are going to take my wife. I remember the advice my father gave. I mean, it worked out for him. So it should work out for me as well. Why wouldn't it? And he tries it and he does it. And he says, okay, she's my sister. Verse 8. Now it came to pass when he had been there a long time, and Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Some say they were laughing, which I don't think is a good translation. Some say caressing, but endearment was showing affection in a husband and a wife way. Verse 9. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is your wife. So how can you say she is my sister? Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. So you see he's been there a long time, and you see that the king looked through a window. So in that, they were close. Remember when we talked about this, the city of David, and back then and even now, the king is always the highest. Then you have his family members, or actually no, you would have his guard, his family members, friends, and it goes further down the line. So if he's close enough to see him, he was put in a place of safety to begin with. Somehow, maybe, they opened up the Chronicles and said, oh yeah, this is the son of Abraham. That guy was pretty good. God was with him. We were blessed. He was blessed. Let's see if it happens. We don't know. But he was close enough to have a place of honor with this king where he can see him from his window. Verse 10. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. Now, a question is here, well, wait a second, what kind of people are they? Might have lain with the wife. Does that mean they were going to rape her or take her? When you're thinking about the time then, and this is the Philistines, it's talking about promiscuity. Casual sex was okay, just as it is in here in America. And we tend to forget that. If we look at America right now, supposed to be a Christian nation. It's really not. There's Christians in here. But sex between a man and a woman who are not married is considered okay. But if you sleep with someone's wife or husband, it's not okay. When you think about it, when you look at Judges and Samson and Delilah, the Philistines, he was going to get his bride. Their customs were, sure, get the bride. No one can touch her. Just like in the Roman Empire, the male was allowed to have other women. He can have a prostitute and pay her, but of course the women cannot. So when you're seeing what he says, a man might have lied with her. In other words, he's saying, look, you told your wife to play this lie, and it seems like she would have not told the truth, and someone could have came and slept with her, either for money or not, because, you know, we allow stuff like that, and then we would have been at fault because you deceived us. So his thinking is, you didn't tell me this. Someone could have slept with her, because we allow things like that. And the Philistines allowed it as well. Delilah was a harlot, but they had a relationship. He gave her some money, but not. So if you're looking at the culture and what they allow and don't allow, it's basically men, don't touch his wife. No one wants that. Even back then, not the wife. That woman over there who's the harlot, no problem. If she's free and she was married and single, go ahead. And they might have thought that she was married. She's a single woman now. Stuff like that happened then. Stuff like this happens now. It's not that different when you think about it. The major differences are technology. The mindset is the same. It was a little bit more harsh. Women were more oppressed. But certain cultures back there were considered liberal, even with their women. And if you're looking at the Philistines, to a larger degree, they were. Just like Samson and Delilah were. So when he says that, he wasn't, they would have taken her to rape her, of course. Because a lot of countries, even back then in times, they had actually, they would kill the person. Even in the Roman Empire, you could not do that to any citizens. Of course, a slave, you can do what you want. But remember where he was. He was in the eyesight of the king. He was taken in to him. And no one touched his woman. Again, why? God is still protecting them there. God would protect them because he said that. Even if he thought these people look bad. We could say the same thing again, going back to wanting to leave. Look at all these people. Look at what the people are doing in school. The LGBTQ community. They're taking over. They're doing this. But we don't know if God is saying, when you look at what's going on, people are changing. We don't know if God is saying, hold on, give me a chance. I'll bring revival. I'm going to put it myself on it. I just want to say, come quickly, Lord. These people are no good. Everyone's bad. I have to fight myself. I have to fight these people. I just want you to come back so we can all rest. I think I want to move here or leave or go here. But God's like, hold on a second. You don't know what I'm doing. And that goes back to, again, Biden's in office. We don't know if God allows these things. It could be to awaken our eyes. A lot of people are changing. We have to wait and see. Because in the end, even if we suffer for a time, we all remember where we're going. We know. And that's another thing to remember. God wants us here. He'll keep us here. If he wants us to leave, he'll let us know, just like he did Joseph and Mary. So where was I? Going back to the people, they knew right from wrong, sort of, just like we do. In America, you cannot sleep with another man's wife, or the husband can't sleep with another. Husband and wife, if you're in a marriage, you can't commit adultery. There's still laws against that. You go to court, you have to sell it out of court. We know that's wrong. We have a conscience. They had a conscience by God too. But there still are the things they allow, just like America does. So just because you know right from wrong and you're doing right on some things doesn't make you a godly society. They did say guilt would be upon them. And that is true. They were trying to do a little bit good. And I think we'll stop there for today. We'll stop at 11. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Now that seems like an extreme. But like every ruler, they want to show that they are good. And they're also he's protecting his people because they did believe in gods. If he remembers, and if they did look in their annals and say, okay, look, this is the child of that guy Abraham. God was with him. Don't mess with him. Don't you remember he told the ancestor king? He had the dream. God said, if you touch her, you're a dead man. So that might apply to us as well, because they believed in other gods. There was a lot of demons around and they saw it. But it still caused him to make this decree, do not touch these people. Whoever touches this man or his wife, and he makes it clear now, you're going to die. You're under my protection even more than you were. And this also shows him that God was with him. So we're going to stop there, but I think we just look at, will we keep the faith if God tells us to be somewhere we don't want to be? if it's uncomfortable for us? Will we wait on God to see the blessing? And that's the problem. Many a times we don't wait on God to see the blessing, and we wind up walking like this for a long time just to get back where we should have been so we can start all over again. So keep the faith. And if God is telling you to stay, stay. If he wants you to move, he'll let it know clearly, because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they obey. At least they should obey. And that's something to remember. We don't know what's going to happen in the future to us. We don't know how this country is going to be. But if he wants us here to be persecuted, that's the best place to be. And if he doesn't, he'll take us out. So let's pray. And Father, we again come before you and thank you for your scriptures and your word and showing us more and more that there'll always be an issue of trust somehow, Lord Jesus. And part of it is our flesh, but we see in your word that we're not alone. I thank you for the truth of the Bible and the people in here who are real, and we can learn from them. Hopefully we learn from them and not make some mistakes that they may have did, that we would be blessed as they are. And we know that we are in you. We are blessed wherever you want us. So even now I ask for your blessings for everyone here and watching online, that wherever they are, if that's where you want them to be, and whatever they're going through, if that's where you want them to go through, that they know this, Lord, that you would bless them with a reminder and frame of references in your scripture, and even people coming over to remind them and pray for them. Wherever you want us, Lord, we need you and your strength to keep us there, to honor you, to understand, Father, what it really means to keep the faith. Not like the faith of the world, Lord, but faith in you and your promises, in your word, and to stand for whatever you want us to go through, whether it's tribulation, whether it's being uncomfortable, whether it's moving, whatever it is, let it be according to your will and your will, word, not our word or our will. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.